The length of the dry period has been found a lot. The previous lactation milk production, it can also be positively related to colostrum production too, if they're being dried off properly. So I think, yeah, the thing is, those are cows that are just good at making milk and they have great mammary mass in general, so they make good colostrum. But if you don't dry them off right, I think that's the distinction between my research and what some other people are finding. Because before, when I first saw this in my data, I was like, wait, no, people are finding that it's positively related, like a high producer should have good colostrum. But then luckily I looked at the mammary gland level and I saw it was the level of activity during the far off period that was the problem.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast brought to you by Wise Genetics. I'm Dr. Luciano Cascetta, and I'm hosting today, once again, Dr. Amanda Fischer-Toulustos, who was in the podcast before to talk to us about colostrum. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about colostrum and what are those factors and some of the factors associated with potentially decreasing colostrum quality, in especially talking a lot about the milk production at dry off. Welcome to the podcast again, Dr. Fischer-Toulustos.
Thank you so much.
So in the previous episode, we talked about the colostrum and how colostrum being made. We talked about like the different elements there and nutrients and parameters that are in the colostrum. And then we were starting to a very nice discussion about like what are the factors leading to some potential issues or factors associated with better colostrum and more IGT accumulation and production. And one of the things that we finish on was the milk production of those cows being something that has an association with the colostrum quality, being on those cows producing too much, then like by the time they're starting to ramp up their IgG production and accumulation, but they're also like decreasing, like trying to dry off. I would like to expand a little bit more on that. Like you mentioned that you stumbled on that. I seen in my own research looking to dry off, and there's a lot of cows producing a lot more milk than they were back in 20 years ago when the 15 kilos, 33 pounds recommendation came out, right? So what's your take on that? Like, how can we address this challenge?
Yeah, totally. I think when we do dry off cows, whatever strategy we use, those cows take about 2 to 3 weeks to completely fully involute or dry off. We call it, when the cows are still pregnant, we call it regenerative involution because they're trying to dry off, but they're also trying to still prepare their mammary gland for the next pregnancy. So it's kind of like opposing forces. But we have to think it takes them 2 to 3 weeks just to dry off. So if we're drying our cow off at 60 days, ideally, is I think what we should be doing. If we're drying them off 60 days before calving, and then at 40 days is when we start to make IgG, we're really cutting it very close there between the intersection of those two things. And yeah, if a cow isn't fully drying off or dried off at that point, I don't think she's going to start transferring her IgG. Unfortunately, we don't really know a lot about the mechanisms that control IgG transfer, but there appears to be opposing forces between involution and IgG transfer and colostrum. But yeah, maybe like you mentioned, maybe we need to start doing some strategies aside from abrupt dry off. Like we talked about 80%, 75% of farms are just doing abrupt dry off. And that is not going to assist or help with this problem. So a strategy you can try is once a day milking, which is where you switch your cow to a dry off ration so that there's less energy going to the mammary gland. And then you just only milk her in the morning. And that will slowly give her mammary gland the signal, hey, we're not being stimulated as much. It's time to slow down. But what I found even in my own study with only 21 cows is that I still had some high producers that even at the end of that 7 day, once a day milking period, they were having trouble still getting on that 15 kilo a day target kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So what I've also read that people try, and I've never done this myself, maybe you have more experience with this, is the skip a day method. So you put cows down to once a day milking for 3 days, and then you skip a day, don't milk her at all. And then you milk her again, just the morning milking after that, then you skip a day. and you kind of keep going. Ideally, hopefully you're not going more than 7 days, but it, by skipping the day, it really fully removes that signal, but you don't just abruptly dry her off because you're going to continue it still one more day. And hopefully she's like reduced her milk production by a quarter or a half by the time you've skipped that day.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
No, that's, I personally have done that. Like, it's just based on the amount of work that it takes in some of the farms, yeah. Right, to implement that. It's harder on the commercial farms. I have more experience on some of the strategies and some of the products that are given around dry off that are shutting down milk production a little bit. So it's still part of the abrupt, but leading to them having less milk once they dry off. But we didn't look very closely on the colostrum, and now I wish I had saved those samples to like take a look at it. But it is something it's very near to my heart, because something that I'm looking, and it's very nice to see more and more research on the effect, truly like the dry cows and what's happening and how is that affecting colostrum and affecting the cow as a milk producer in the next lactation, because there was too many decades that the dry cows were just back there and like out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, right? So, but it's good. It's good to hear, and it seems that it's again, it's a matter of like balancing, right? Like we can maximize milk production by not giving cows a dry period that's long enough to capture all the milk. But then we might be hurting other aspects. And colostrum is something that's super important. And many people are being challenged by not enough quantity and quality in different times of the year, right? On your project, I assume it was very controlled per se. It's like, was it a specific time of the year? But do you have any other inputs on like this, like we hear often, like the seasonality on the most of quantity? Like, I don't see, there's some quality variation too, but any input on that aspect of the colostrum production?
Yeah, in terms of seasonality, for all the projects I did throughout my PhD, they were quite long. Like, they all spanned about 9 months, so we didn't really have a chance to look too much at seasonality because we didn't have enough animals to really parse apart that effect. But yeah, we did some things about nutrition and how close-up nutrition can potentially influence colostrum production. And other people have also done that, like Dr. Sabina Mann at Cornell has done that. There's been many groups in Europe have done that as well. And it seems that research can kind of be all over the map. We don't have one silver bullet nutritional factor that is going to improve colostrum composition or production in general. But yeah, and aside from that, what I'm finding most in the literature, it all is leading a lot to this dry period. I think the length of the dry period has been found a lot. The previous lactation milk production, it can also be positively related to colostrum production too, if they're being dried off properly. So I think, yeah, the thing is, those are cows that are just good at making milk and they have great mammary mass in general, so they make good colostrum. But if you don't dry them off right, I think that's the distinction between my research and what some other people are finding. Because before, when I first saw this in my data, I was like, wait, no, people are finding that it's positively related, like a high producer should have good colostrum. But then luckily I looked at the mammary gland level and I saw it was the level of activity during the far off period that was the problem. So yeah, I really think the length of the dry period and the dry off strategy should be really where we're looking. And maybe we should move away from those close up strategies to kind of drive colostrum production in those last few weeks. I don't think it necessarily works like that.
Yeah. We might be missing the mark, right? Like, we might be not getting as expected results just because we're a little bit too late.
Yeah, especially for IgG transfer, which is the thing usually when we talk about colostrum, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, good. No, thank you. Thank you again for being with us once again. It's really nice and very nice topic, and you always explain things very well, and it's easy to understand. Glad that you had a chance to speak to us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
This concludes another episode of the Dairy Health Black Belt podcast presented to you by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. If you have any suggestions of topics that you'd like to hear about, just send us a message. We'll try to invite and have like speakers that can bring that information to you. With that, I'd like to thank you for listening. I'm Luciano Cacheta, and this is the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast. Thank you. Bye.